The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff.
Shut up, Dan.
3 o'clock on the dot. You know what that means. It's time for Matt Lanta and the King. Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
Driving home Atlanta is a traffic jam.
But we got Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
Yeah.
Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 it's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
Kind of felt bad when I told Dan to shut up. In the moment, it felt like the right thing to do because he wouldn't stop talking, but it's not one of my finer moments.
I think you nailed it.
Thank you, Coach. Chuck and Chernoff are here as we crank her up in our 3 o'clock hour. We're going to rock you till 6 o'clock on the Fan on FM and 93.7. We'll do the AM thing again at 680, and of course the 680 The Fan mobile app. So just so you're prepared to listen to everything on this radio show and this station and not miss an inning or a pitch of Braves baseball, now is the time to get your 680 The Fan mobile app. The 3 o'clock hour of our show is presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast at thisstuffmatters.net. Let's start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to Charles. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, Matt.
Can you ask me a question?
Can I ask you a question?
Now we're good.
Yeah, I think it's just us.
We're good. All right, here's where I want to start today. As the Braves enjoy the day off, and they're in L.A., so maybe a little beach time, a little chance to hear some of those ocean waves as they get ready for their series with the Dodgers tomorrow. They salvaged a game. It's one of my favorite terms in baseball. You salvaged a game. Braves did that yesterday in the day baseball action against the Mariners. They win 5-2, and thank God. If they had lost 3 in a row, do you know social media would have completely imploded? I don't know when this has happened, and I know it's not just Braves fans. There's got to be other cities and other fans who react to losing a couple in a row or a week of a slumping bat or an issue with pitching. What happened this week was not to the level of what happened, Chuck. Do you remember last season? It was about a week where the pitching staff was just rocked. They couldn't get out of the third and fourth inning with a starter for a week. And I came on this radio show and said, okay, it happens. Now everybody's trade for somebody now. Everything's falling apart. I don't know why the fear, and maybe I get caught up watching it on social media, which is in real life, but the fear that takes over fans who know how good this baseball team is. But anytime they lose two or three in a row or the bats have a silent couple of games, they still flip out. I don't understand it.
Baseball is the only sport that's different in one respect. In football, you can have not on, like, you literally, you can win every game. It's rare, but you can win every game. And here's the thing. Sometimes teams win every game in football, and it's a beautiful season. They never even really get pushed. In basketball, I don't know. What was it, Matt? Didn't the Bulls win 70 one year?
I think they did, yes.
And they were screwing around in the other nine or whatever they lost. You know what that was? That was an almost perfect, beautiful season. What never happens, even to the best, most loaded, stacked, we won 108 and won the World Series team in baseball, you're going to have games where everybody looks like they've never played and the pitchers can't get anybody out and you burn through two extra guys in the bullpen. It's just going to happen.
It happens every year.
Baseball.
They lost two games in Oakland a year ago. Oh, my God. I said on my podcast the other day, by the way, you can download the Daily 10 wherever it is you get your favorite pods. The Braves are going to lose another 50 games, and that's if everything goes well.
And some of them are going to be, like 20 of them will be bad losses, and 10 of them will be break-your-heart losses, and then a bunch in the middle will be regular losses. It's baseball. That's how it goes every year for every team.
Let me repeat. They're going to lose 50 more times. If you're that unhappy doing this, there's got to be something else to enjoy watching. Braves are 20-9, best record in baseball, with all the things that we know have not gone well. That's how good they are. And there are going to be things that don't go well for your entire 26-man roster throughout the year. One of the things that has gone well is Chris Sale. Chris did not go super deep yesterday, but looked good again. Five innings, six hits, a run, no walks, and nine Ks. That's swing and miss for Chris Sale. Like, Red Sox fans are still saying, well, he'll get hurt. And they might be right, but they also have to be going, really, Chris? Seriously, you're doing this now? You're this guy again? Like, there's an argument, and it's April, or now May, that we're 5 months from the postseason, and it's a stupid argument to have. But there's a case where if he looked like this when we got to October, I'd give the ball to Chris Sale in game one. And I love Max Fried to death, but the way Chris is going and missing bats, I'd give him the ball in game one.
And in October, you can let a – what is he, 34, 35, 36?
Isn't that range?
36, yeah. You can let him run. You can let him go, whatever it is at
that
point.
You can, or you could just say – use all of it up in five and third, and we'll go to the bullpen. Just use empty
the barrel if you need to. You can, believe me, I was with a lot of folks last night going, yeah, you can go deeper than this. You had 6 weeks of spring training. This is already the sixth start. Like, you can go deeper than this, and there is a long-range view of this.
You know it. I know. Through 100, they're not going to push him. Yep. And I don't blame him. He's broken too much that they're not going to push him.
And so if you're frustrated with Free, and you're frustrated, like I said, there's a long-range view. Like it or not, but that is the explanation. And with Sale, with injury, even with some of it being a little freak stuff,
yep.
They're going to take the September-October view.
So he's 4-1 now, lowered his ERA to 3.4. That's all good. Braves bullpen covered four innings, gave up just one run.
And a day off today, so whatever.
That was a Dylan Lee, AJ Minter, Joe Jimenez. Man, he's been good. Yep. And then Rysell. Rysell's always going to give you some worry, right? Put a couple of guys on base with a hit and walk, and then he works his way out of that. So now the Braves get this day off to prepare for the Dodgers. We'll see if the bats can get cranked up. I know we're all focused on the offense right now, but the Braves pitching only gave up seven runs in that three games in Seattle, only four of those from the starters, and three of those came in the middle game of that series with the guy who's been your best pitcher, Ronaldo Lopez. So the pitching's been awesome. The bats did show signs of life, especially in that fourth yesterday. You got the Acuna rope. He killed a couple of balls. Now, he struck out three times, but he killed a couple of balls. The Ozzie single, he's got a 14-game hit streak. The Riley triple, circle that one.
Oh, fantastic.
And then the Olsen single. So you got stuff you wanted to see. That group of three guys, Acuna, Olsen, Riley, combined for three hits, three RBIs, and you hope they can take that into that series coming up in L.A. Charlie Morton goes tomorrow night, Bryce Elder on Saturday, and Maximum Fried on Sunday with a little Southern California in the back of his mind against the Dodgers.
Yeah, and a little bit of that Bull Durham speech, I think it was from Kevin Costner to Matt Olson. You need anything, a bloop, a flare, anything to get you rolling.
Hopefully it works. All right, we'll talk more Braves coming up. It's been almost a week. Tonight it will be a full week since the Falcons made the controversial decision to draft Michael Penix as we were sitting in the Caesars Sportsbook at Harris Cherokee, and it shocked the world. Well, the football world is not moving on. Like, this has been the talk of football for a week. And at the time, we heard every possible opinion on the move. And in the days after, every possible opinion on the move, how it affects Kirk Cousins' future, how it affects the Falcons' future, how it affects Michael Penix's future. But here's one, and you and I have talked about this. I'm going to play you a piece of audio from Ian Rappaport. And this is something the Falcons inadvertently have done by choosing to use their pick on the quarterback of the future. They have created a potential quarterback controversy. Listen to Ian Rappaport, who was asked what happens if the Falcons were to get off to a slow start this season and the fans and the media start screaming for Penix.
If that happens, and if the crowd is chanting for Penix and you're 4-4 is sort of in between because you can get better, but let's say you're like 3-5 or Cousins, let's say it's last year's Vikings team where Cousins is putting up good numbers, but you're not winning a lot of games. Then do you play Penix? If he's good enough, then maybe you do. But that actually proves my point, because then you could theoretically trade Cousins to a place he would want to go to the next season. And then you have your franchise guy there and it's no problem. You just move on to the next generation of this and you have a guy and that's it.
It's May. Kirk Cousins won't take a snap for the Falcons for 4+ months. And whether you think what Rappaport said is sensible or ridiculous, this is what's going to be created. And I'll remind the audience of something, and I've said this all along. I'm a fan of what the Falcons did with Cousins. I'm a fan of what they did with Penix. I'm not a fan of what they did with both. But no matter what you think of Kirk, Kirk is good. Kirk has never equaled team success. Does anybody remember what the Vikings did to start the season last year? Anybody raise your hand? Kirk played his best 8 games of his career. Remember how that season started? They were 0-4. Kirk's not good enough. And Kirk had Justin, and Kirk had Hockenson, and Kirk has had other weapons through the years. Kirk is not good enough to overcome stuff. So what Rappaport brings up, whether the Falcons would ever give in to like answering that question or not, is not the point, Chuck. The point he's bringing up is it's going to be out there in the universe to have to simmer over their every thought process if they don't play well early.
Yeah, and that's like, if you ask a coach, you know one thing that every single coach hates? Hypotheticals. Mm-hmm. Ask a coach a hypothetical. Well, if this happens, well, he's like, I don't like those questions. Problem is, coaches, and especially the front office, they're supposed to go through all the hypotheticals themselves. So I understand if this happens and if this, and then there's Michael Penix. You don't know if Penix can play. You don't know when. Like, saying that he is this potential fill-in for a guy who's been a starter in the league for 10 years, even that's a little bit of a stretch for this season. My goodness, there's so much that just is pure speculation about how this could go.
But that's why Rappaport was asked. Falcon coach, like, at the presser on Saturday, Raheem made it clear. He's like, Kirk's not going to have to look over his shoulder. That's not the point here. The point is the questions are going to be asked if they don't play well. It's not a matter of them catering to the fans or the media. No, the questions will be out there. Like, there is a world where Kirk Cousins balls out and the Falcons go 11-6 in back-to-back years. Then they politely ask him to leave. And there's a peaceful transfer of power. That is in the cards. But there's also a world that Rappaport was asked about where Kirk is putting up numbers, but the Falcons aren't winning. That's where this one gets tricky. It's obvious Raheem and Terry were not confident enough going with a rookie out of the gate. They were not going to put themselves in that position. So that's why they spent the money on Kirk. Then they have the succession plan. But these things aren't going to go away.
No,
they created something that is just going to bubble and bubble.
It shows just like a real lack of awareness as to what you were – like it wasn't even there. If we could go back – 6 days and 20 hours ago, like, this didn't even exist. The Falcons conjured it. Think of it that way. Like, they read the secret and they poured the stuff in and brewed it up. And, like, they invented it when it wasn't even on anybody's radar to exist. And now it does.
So
and we get to live with it for a few years.
Their problem is, I don't know how they can handle it, right? They could say, we don't care about the bubbling cauldron, or we don't care about – it's how they handle it. And this goes back to my theory on this franchise for a long time. They have chaos surrounding them awful, and they haven't handled chaos. There's always chaos. How they handle it, none of us know. Prior regimes have not handled it well. How will Raheem handle it? Because Arthur Smith didn't handle chaos well. Arthur got combative with the media. Arthur got antagonistic. That's not a good look. Raheem's the most lovable cat around. Let's see what happens in the middle of chaos, what that's going to look like. We'll talk more about it coming up. I look at you. And I wonder.
About?
Why you don't listen to me more?
Okay, here we go.
I look at you and I say, how long have we known each other? 2 decades. And I try to help you. I try to help you. I try to save you money. I try to help you not be so square. And you came to me with this big bombastic opinion about a 4-leg parlay. It can't miss. Championship parlay.
I never said can't miss.
You were very confident in this. You bet $100 on a 4-leg parlay that was a 4-team championship parlay. that included the UConn Huskies winning the championship, the Kansas City Chiefs winning the championship, which I was like, okay. Now, you should have bet your hundy there and taken a little win and walked away. But you're like, no, I saw big bang, big bag. I wanted to go chase. Then you added the LA Clippers and the Braves. The Braves part of it, fine, whatever. And what was the potential payoff?
$100 turns into $79.6.
Okay. How's that going right now?
Well, there was a setback last night. The Clippers, they still need the same number of wins they needed.
How did last night?
They need two more wins against the Mavs.
If anybody, and you're not paying attention, Atlanta, I don't blame you.
The Clippers, they got blown out.
They got nipped by 30 against the, ask me where
but they're
that
not
game,
healthy.
But ask me where that game was last night.
It was not in Dallas.
No, it was in LA.
So they do go back on the road for, and I think like in a 2-2 series, whoever wins game five is like 82% winner. And if the road team wins game five, it's like 93rd percentile.
Had you listened to me and only made a $50 bet and given me the other 50, right now I would have put a $50 bill right on the table and said, here you go, Square. Here's
$50. I also wouldn't have won my $3,200 from UConn last year and various other wins along the way.
There's the gambler who knows he's not winning this bet telling you about the old
plus,
bet.
Plus, we're going to see how this plays out. You need to let this thing play out, son. It's sports.
I'm trying to help you. Because I know, I love you.
It sounds like you're trying to have fun at my expense.
I'm not having fun at your expense. I just think the squaredom of you is just on display. And I want, here's what you should do if you lose. Go all in now. You double down. You bet the Mavericks to win the championship. Then you bet the Braves to win the championship. And then you, what's the next sports league we can get to? Then you bet the NFL champion. And then you do next year. You just go all until you get it right. You just keep going. Don't give in.
This guy.
I'm trying to help him.
I'm telling you, when this hits.
All right, Square.
When this hits.
The Hawks haven't had to worry about
taking everybody to Red Lobster.
Except
you're
me.
Not invited.
I know. Well, it's going to turn out now I'm going to have to pay because we're down a hundy. The Hawks haven't had to worry about playoff basketball in a while since that night in Chicago when they had their season ended in the play-in. So they've had more time to talk about the offseason and the plan ahead, including Trae Young, who on his very own podcast called From the Point was asked again to address what he had to say at the exit interviews when he talked about wanting to be in Atlanta, but also wanting to win, and I don't think it sounds very different. Take a listen.
Obviously, I want to be in Atlanta. Like I, when I was drafted, that's where I wanted to spend my whole career.
Yep.
And I mean, but at the same time, I want to win. So, like, if we're not on the same page and all wanted to win right now, I mean, there's times teams want to take their time and be slow with winning or process. And it's just like I'm not there anymore. Like I want to win. Like, and I've always been that way. So. And like, I don't feel like I have very much time to waste.
Here's what I would tell Trae at this point. You got to stop beating around the bush, and I mean this sincerely. He's trying to come off as still the nice guy. Trey's got to be very overt, whether it's behind the scenes or in public, pick one, and say to the billionaire owner, this is it. This is it. You've messed around enough. This organization's lost right now. We've torn down parts of the team because you wanted to stand to the luxury tax. You've got to go to the billionaire, and he's the only guy in the franchise who can do it that can have the billionaire's ear and sit down in his office. Or if the billionaire won't sit with him, he can say it publicly and say, listen, Tony, it's now or never. This is your last year with me. Figure it out. Pay to go into the tax. Surround me with enough to win. And I don't blame Trae. Trae should want the hell out of here as quick as he can, or he's going to look up and his 20s will be gone, and he'll be playing in play-ins every year because the organization's a mess around them.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to go back as far as Dominique to find – I mean, but that's the – he's the best player since Dominique, the greatest player the franchise has had since then. At least with Dominique, you knew you weren't the best team, but you knew you were doing the same stuff as the best teams. You really were playing the same game. You had a chance, a real chance. You're not doing what a championship franchise is doing in today's NBA. It's not. You're not approaching it that way. It's not, you know, like – Kevin Huerter, he might have been a C-plus player at his worst, a B-minus to a B player.
But he fit.
And you weren't paying him that much.
They just re-upped him on a new, affordable deal.
Yes. And so to shave a little bit of savings off of a pretty good piece, and that's just one example, and we've gone through it and how they cratered the value for Collins and all that. Like, that's not what championship franchises are doing right now, and that's what the Hawks continue to do.
It feels like Trae Young, you ever had this one with your spouse? Like, Trae's like, listen, you got to put more effort in. I mean,
I don't feel any there any further down the road now than a year ago than when all Quinn had was the last 14 or 18 games of last year.
Trae is telling Tony, you got to, you know, put some lingerie on. Like, pretend like when we first got together that you cared about impressing me. Like, we need to date a little bit more. We haven't been together in weeks right now. You keep telling me you have a headache and you're tired. This, if I'm not going to get it here, I'm going to get it somewhere else.
How's your day, Trey?
I feel like we're not communicating anymore, and you need to figure this out or else I'm gone.
How do you feel?
Oh, it's an old bed.
I'm sorry. Is Ric Flair here? What's that?
I'll have to go find him, find the correct worst idea bed. This is
so Derek Thomas is doing a great job, by the way. He's in for Colin
Madden.
No, you're doing a great job. But that just caught me off guard because typically I would hear the worst idea. Oh, it's fine. So this is where we get our worst idea. Again, DT, you're doing great. We told you Canelo Alvarez has a fight this weekend against Jaime Mangua, and I'm sure I butchered the name.
And I bet $100 on a four-leg parlay, right. But you don't think I'll spend $89 on this?
No, because you know there's a chance you get some money back. I said there's no way Chuck spends $90 on Canelo Alvarez and a guy you've never heard of. Monday, unfinished business, BG, you're going to ask him, did he spend the night? Now, we might shame him into it at this point, but I want proof that he spent it. I need documentation. I need a cable bill. I need a receipt. I need something. But what was, do you remember the first thing you ever ordered on pay-per-view? Like when pay-per-view became a thing to you, and I know this one off the top of my head. 1986, my dad, I pushed him and pushed him, and we ordered WrestleMania 2 in three separate locations. I had to, as a 9-year-old, see Hogan and Bundy in the LA Sports Arena in the steel cage, and I think it was like $26.99 at the time for the...
My dad would have never indulged me like that.
I wouldn't stop, though.
You were a second, third grader, maybe?
Well, 9 years old. I think it was in fourth grade-ish, somewhere there. That was... My wrestling years were like 86 to like 88 or 89.
Wow.
So I was not going to let it go, and Dad finally gave in, and yes, I think it was $27, I think, for the pay-per-view.
91, and I remember that I looked it up. I was like, this was on a weeknight, too. On a Monday night, me and a buddy of mine, we chipped in half, I guess, for like $49. Mike Tyson and Razor Ruddock back in March of 1991 on a Monday night.
They fought on a Monday? Why do I not remember that? That's crazy.
Tyson, I was looking at this other one. Tyson and Carl the Truth Williams fought on a Friday night.
That makes sense. I can deal with that. But to make Razor Ruddock your girlfriend on a Monday night, that's what Mike said during the presser. I'm going to make you my girlfriend. Brian Gephardt, do you remember the first pay-per-view you bought?
Yeah, Tyson Holyfield, 96. I believe that was the year.
Do you remember the price by chance?
I want to say it was 20. I want to say it was 1999.
No. It had to be more than that.
The year was 97. Was this the year?
Was it?
That was the second.
Because how many did they fight?
They fight twice.
Yeah,
twice.
No, it was the first one.
The year was the second. Now, again, I'd be sudden. Maybe you got it for 20, but no.
Well,
that was a 50-plus dollar
I was
fight.
Also eight, so it was one of those, like, let me give you $5 out of the piggy bank to get this fight.
Yeah, the year was the second fight. It was the final fight.
Correct.
It
was Derek Thomas, you have a memory of the first pay-per-view?
Yeah, I was more of a WCW kid as a younger man. Starcade, probably 1997, 1998.
Can I tell you the thing is, they used to put Starcades on free TV.
Ooh.
That and, like,
one
that.
In Halloween Havoc, whatever.
Okay,
it was
that like Big Lots versus Walmart? Like Starcade
versus... comparing WCW
so
to WWE?
Starcade and the Great American Bash were two of the biggest WCW promos, and they used to put them on free TV until they wisened up and realized, let's try to do it on pay-per-view. So you guys will send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. All right, coming up, your chance to win Chuck's dinner. You can't win!
It's suicide! You've seen him, you know how strong he is. You can't win!
All right. We'll do that coming up in less than 10 minutes, so you can jump aboard. You jump aboarders. Coming up next, though... I can't believe there are Falcon fans who actually believe this. But they really do exist, and you'll meet them next. Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. And you can join us on the radio in a moment. We're going to give you a chance to win Chuck's dinner.
You can't win!
But before that, let me remind you this hour of the show is presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast at This Stuff Matters. .net. Before we give you a chance to win some grub, Chuck, I always like the separation between some fans, right? We all have that buddy in our life who's a fan, who's the most negative guy ever. Everything's bad. Then we have that one buddy who's like, it's going to be fine. And then there's that one guy who's kind of in the middle, and that's sort of me. But I want to point out there are a certain sector of Falcon fans who I see, not even that I follow on social media, that just pop up on that side of the page for Twitter, the For You page, and they just keep popping up. And they're the fans who a year ago were like, Ritter's going to hit, right? There was the collection of Ritter's going to bomb, they wouldn't change their opinion. And there was the Ritter's going to be awesome, they weren't going to change their opinion. And I think I found one of those guys a year ago. Because I don't know why I saw this, but there was a Twitter account, Falcon fan by the name of Rise Up Penix, which I'm pretty convinced a year ago he's Rise Up Ritter. So now he's Rise Up Penix. And he's one of these fans who's like, I'm willing to overlook the dysfunction year after year. I'm willing to overlook the chaos, and it's going to be different this time. It's always going to be good. So he tweets, if you're upset the Falcons didn't draft any day one starters, don't be. That speaks to the quality of the roster. Your roster must be pretty rough if you need a bunch of rookies to start day one. It's a luxury to have rookies start as depth players. Now, some of that is probably accurate, but let me go back. That speaks to the quality of the roster. And again, we can gas up whatever we want to gas up, a team, a player, a franchise, whatever. But the people who gassed up Ritter a year ago when I was sitting here going, let's wait and see. And then during the season, I was like, let's not kill him. You know, you get killed because you're in the middle. If you look at this roster and you think the quality is so good that that was the reason they could afford to pass up a number eight pick, I have news for you. Had they taken a corner, had they taken an edge rusher, had they taken any other position other than quarter, he would have started. Like, are we not in agreement? There's not a position that wouldn't have started at number eight.
So, like, I don't know. Twitter may say Chuck Oliver and then at King CFB. What is the name on this one?
This is Rise Up Penix is what
okay,
I saw.
Okay, is the at Onion ATL?
I didn't dig into that close.
This is a parody. That's a made-up response.
I've seen this guy before.
That has to be a made-up response.
No, this is, and again, I'm not picking on this dude. He's a Falcon fan, but if you're willing, hook, line, and sinker, to believe in this franchise, and I'm a fan of the franchise. I want them to do well. This comes from a place from a fan who wants them to do, but I've seen it too much. I know what I'm dealing with. I'm not going to inflate my expectation the way I wasn't going to inflate it for Desmond, and I'm not going to inflate it now for a roster that is very miscast in a lot of areas.
Okay, if that was a serious sentiment from someone, God bless the Falcons. They'll always have somebody to buy their product, I suppose. But in a city with almost 7 million people, I guess maybe you will have a few thousand folks who believe that. I think that was a put on. That has to be. Nope. That's such an absurd statement that I think that was someone not being authentic.
And let me add to it. Like, if you think the quality of the roster, we didn't need. You know who your starting corners are today? A.J. Terrell and maybe Clark Phillips? Or A.J. Terrell and maybe Mike Hughes? Or A.J. Terrell and maybe D. Alford? All right? Who are your starting edge rushers? And don't tell me it's any of the kids they just drafted, because if you're selling hope with day two and day three picks in the draft, you're a mess.
And A.J. Terrell, we talked last week. He's the quarter you like. You hadn't given him an extension yet.
Well, I don't worry about that. Your starter edge rushers today, if I'm just picking, are Lorenzo Carter and Arnold Ebiketie. But we're roster's good. We're fine. Like, if that's what you're going with, other franchises needed to go get guys to start day one. We didn't. Had they taken Terry and Arnold on the depth chart, they would have lied to you and said he's got to earn his way. He was going to be the starter. Had they taken Dallas Turner or Liatu Latu, they would have been penciled in as starters.
The contract thing with A.J. Terrell is a comment from them that even one of the guys they really like, teams all around the league have already given a second contract to some guys before the fifth year. He's entering the fifth year.
I think they'll end up re-signing him. I do, because I think Raheem loves him. That's not at the top of my, like, nitpick
list.
But
they really like him and haven't even committed.
I just want you guys to think about this, right? This is a team that took 3 out of 4 luxury picks in the last 4 years in the top 10 of the draft. When they know they don't have things solved on their O-line or D-line or at corner, they've taken luxury picks. So instead of taking Jalen Carter, they took Bijan. And instead of taking Penei Sewell or Micah Parsons, they took Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, clarity.
And now instead of taking Dallas Turner or Liatu Latu, they took a quarterback who won't play for 3 years. They took luxury items as if their roster's set.
Bijan because he's the best player, wasn't the one that they needed and wasn't luxury. Bijan was luxury. Drake London, they had to have. Go look at the Falcons receiver core going into that draft. They had to have a receiver. I don't know if they had to have him or him at 8, but they did need a receiver. They didn't need Bijan last year.
But there are fans out there, and I'm not picking on Rise Up Penix. It's good to have that differing opinion. I just can't subscribe. I'm sorry. I just can't look at the quality of the roster. Because then what you do when we get to December and they're 5-7, you're like, coaching's bad. Okay. Or maybe the roster wasn't good when we all knew it in April and May. I know it is good. This is very good, Chuck. When the Braves hit home runs, you all out there in Radio Land, you score. An instant round trip or discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires the next day only at Tire Discounters. Plus, you're going to get a free alignment, free oil change. Best deal out there. Braves go deep. Tire Discounters helps you. That set of Goodyear or Cooper tires, you get the great discount and the alignment and the oil change. The more Braves home runs, the bigger the deals at Tire Discounters. Learn more at TireDiscounters.com/Braves.
It's suicide. You've seen him. You know how strong he is. You can't win.
It's time to win Shucks Dinner. Served up by our next Chop Shop, a fresh, modern expression of the classic American steakhouse.
Everything that man said is true. Arnett's, exemplary meal, best Caesar in town, the ribeye. Wife loves the dessert, swears by him. Bar area or sitting downstairs in the booth with your lovely lady, whatever it is, Arnett's a great place to go.
Let me talk more about the desserts, because I love the meal. I've had the meal many times. I feel like I have not properly assessed. I'm looking at a key lime tart, a New York cheesecake, a mocha cake.
They have a pistachio cake she's had.
What is this, Chop Shop Sundae? I mean, there's...
Oh, yeah, that's ice cream, and then I think they call it fun stuff on top.
Then there's a cream brulee.
Yeah.
That looks kind of nice.
It's all well done, yes.
My goodness. All right, so the way the game works, David Hubbard's going to be your host with the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And all you guys have to do is outpoint Chuck. If you end up tying, we play an overtime round. We work our way to a winner for an Arnett's card. Chuck is going to leave right now.
Topics.
Oh, all right. You'll have to yell at me. Your categories today are meat, cheese, and bread. Good?
Meat, like a summer sausage or a...
I guess we'll find out.
For example, sure.
Just as an option, right?
Ham.
So let's work in our our contestants right now and find out who we have here. We have Tom, our first contestant with Chuck and Chernoff, with a chance to win Chuck's dinner on the fan. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We are excellent, my friend. Have you ever played with us before?
I've played a couple times, but it's been a while.
How long?
I think last summer was the last time I did it, and maybe 2 years before that.
Okay, so bubbling up. How did you do in those two opportunities?
First time, crashed and burned. Second time, I think I just lost by one.
Okay, so there's a chance to get some redemption here. Your category options this go around here, Tom, are meat, cheese, or bread?
Let's go with cheese.
Cheese it is. Let's put 60 seconds on his game clock. Here's your chance to win Chuck's dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
All right, this cheese phrase became popular in the 1940s as a way to make people smile and laugh for pictures.
Hey, cheese.
Yes, this popular Greek cheese can be found on anything from salad to sandwiches and is mainly served... Yeah, cheese was the nickname of Jeremy Piven's character in this iconic 2003 comedy starring Vince Vaughn, Luke Wilson, and Will Ferrell.
Wedding Crashers?
No. This hot cheese sandwich is typically prepared by heating slices of cheese between slices of bread, and it's often cooked with butter.
Grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, it is. NFL draft. Who was picked higher in this year's draft? Blake Corum or Tyke Smith?
Smith.
No. Flying animals, yes or no? Can penguins fly?
No.
No, that's correct. Time zones. Is Indianapolis an Eastern or Central time zone city?
That would be Eastern.
Correct.
All right. Very good. Tom, hold on 1 second there. We'll get Chuck back from the isolation chamber. I always enjoy the energy that Dave Hubbard brings to the game. You're very invested.
I
appreciate that.
Okay, I enjoy the game hosting.
Not very isolated out there. They've got like Hub Blair, and I have to go down the hall now. Can y'all fix that?
Oh, God.
A lot of walking.
Somebody fix the monitor on the hallway. We should have extra 106.3 on the hallway.
I had to go down and hang out with the suits.
Did you see Kemmer?
Did you play some of the games down there? We got new.
Oh, yeah, Centipede.
Yeah, we do.
We do. We have a stand-up arcade game. It's 1986. It's pretty
fantastic.
Good. All right, Chuck, you're playing against Tom. Tom hasn't played in a while, but he wants a piece of you. He made it very clear. Yeah, he wants some of you, bro.
You're going to have the whole thing, Tom.
All right, here we go. Then your category is cheese.
Oh,
okay.
Gouda.
It's a good answer, but not yet. Take a deep breath. Pollen's bad.
That's good. A lot of phlegm.
Let's put 60 seconds on Chuck's game. Yep. On his game clock, we'll see if he can keep his dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
This cheese phrase became popular in the 40s as a way to make people smile and laugh for pictures.
Cheese? I don't understand.
Never mind.
Say cheese?
Yes. This popular Greek cheese can be found on anything from salad to sandwiches.
Feta.
Yes. Cheese was the nickname of Jeremy Piven's character in this iconic 2003 comedy starring Vince Vaughn, Luke Wilson, and Will Ferrell.
Wedding Crashers?
Wrong. This hot cheese sandwich is typically prepared by heating slices of cheese between slices of bread. It's often cooked with butter.
Grilled cheese?
Yes. Oh. NFL draft. Who was picked higher in this year's draft? Blake Corum or Tyke Smith?
Corum.
Correct. Flying animals, yes or no? Can penguins fly?
No.
That's correct. Time zones. Is Indianapolis an Eastern or Central
Eastern.
Time? That's correct.
Are you screaming?
He's very excited.
You know, if you say it louder, doesn't make it faster.
Why? Or more correct.
Okay. This is when you get to
Did
a certain age.
Did I get
age.
Seven? For those, I think I got seven.
For those who don't know, that when you get to a certain age, when you can't see very well, you turn the radio down. You're like, where am I going? Turn the radio down. That's what you just did. Scream it louder. You got six.
Thought I had seven.
No, you were wrong. You missed an obvious one. You said Wedding Crashers.
Oh, old school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheese.
So you were confused by the first one?
Yeah.
You said cheese first.
I thought it was clear, but.
The other guy thought it was pretty clear.
All right.
All right, you got six.
And?
Tom got five.
Yes.
Card.
There he goes. Chuck, back to the isolation chamber.
You can't win.
Wherever the chamber is, because we have the audio playing in the hallway today for some.
We've taken care of that.
All right, fixed it. Promise fixed. Fade it. Thank you, DT. Way to go. Tyler's our next contestant. He joins us on the fan with a chance to win Chuck's dinner. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, Tyler.
You ready to play?
I don't have to do anything except introduce you. Tyler, where should you be right now instead of playing this dumb radio game with us?
I should be picking my kids up from daycare and school, which is what I'm about to be doing.
Do they do that thing at daycare?
Where I need to be.
Yeah, if you get up late, if you get there like a minute or two late, they start charging you more. You guys know some of this routine? Like if you're supposed to be there like at 5:30 and you get there at 5:31, it's like a dollar. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. They're terrible.
They are terrible. Tyler, your category options are meat and bread.
I'm going to go with meat.
Meat it is. Let's put 60 seconds on his game clock. We'll see if Tyler can win Chuck's dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
This musical meat passed away in 2022, but was known for hits like Meatloaf. Paradise. Yes, this expensive meat can cost up to $400 a pound, is from an Asian country, and shares a name with an all-time NBA player.
Pass.
This 2000 cinematic meat stars Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro, and was the first installment of a three-movie series. Yes, this classic meat alternative is a curd made from mashed soybeans. It's used mainly in Asian and vegetarian diet. Yes, correct. NFL, who was picked higher in this year's draft, Jermaine Burton or Braylon Trice?
Trice.
Correct. Flying animals, yes or no? Can a kiwi fly?
Yes.
No. Time zones, is El Paso on Mountain or Central Time?
Mountain.
That's correct. This expensive meat can cost up to $400 a pound. From an Asian country, shares its name with an all-time NBA player.
Oh, all right. Hold on 1 second, Tyler. We'll get Chuck back in from the isolation chamber for round two of our wonderful game, thanks to Arnett's Chop Shop. Hi, Chuck.
Speaking of wonderful game, down the hall playing Frogger.
Frogger. What a just timeless. Timeless. It really is.
Can't beat Costanza's score, though.
It's something to shoot for, isn't it? Chuck, you're playing against Tyler. Tyler. Uh-huh.
What about Steve?
But Steve's not playing today. Tyler is supposed to be picking his kids up. One's at daycare. The other's at school. They're just SOL at this point because he's playing a radio game.
D-facts.
Yeah. Your category this time around is meat.
Eh?
All right. Go ahead and take a deep breath. Get it out of there. Better. All right, let's put 60 seconds on his game clock. We'll see if he can keep his dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
This musical meat passed away in 2022.
Meatloaf.
Yes, this expensive meat that can cost up to $400 a pound is from an Asian country and shares its name with an all-time NBA player.
Kobe.
That's correct. This 2000 cinematic meat stars Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro. It was the first installment of a three-movie series.
Say that again.
This 2000 cinematic meat.
Meat. The parents.
Correct. This classic meat alternative is a curd made from mashed soybeans. It's mainly used in Asian and vegetarian.
Tofu?
That is.
Well.
NFL draft, who was picked higher in this year's draft? Jermaine Burton or Braylon Trice?
They were third rounders, weren't they? Trice!
That's correct. Flying animals, yes or no? Can a kiwi fly?
Yes.
No, they can't. Time zones, is El Paso in the mountain or central time?
Central.
That's wrong.
My goodness. What a hot start.
Did I get six?
No.
Five.
No. Well, you didn't get six.
I got five.
Kiwis fly in your world, and time zones are tough.
Wouldn't throw him a bone.
You did get five.
Okay. And Daryl?
Tyler. Tyler got 5-2.
No!
Oh.
No, I don't want to do this.
With a short tie, and at the end of regulation, we're going to overtime. There are special overtime rules in the playoffs.
Right.
My card.
So the same question will be offered to Chuck that will be offered to Tyler. Whoever's closest to walk away with the Arnett's Chop Shop gift card. All right, Tyler, take a listen. Hubby, offer him the question.
Hold on. Let's check out. All right. Here we go. What was Meat Loaf's net worth in millions at the time of his death in 2022?
$35 million.
Okay.
All right, let's get Chuck back in here from the isolation chamber. We'll ask the same question to the king that was offered to Tyler. Whoever's closest gets the gift card.
That's right. This All was right. always my card at this point. I don't know why we started this.
Yeah, it seems to be more fair this way.
Mm. All right, here we go. What was Meat Loaf's net worth at the time of his death in 2022?
Hell.
Oh, hang on, dang. Oh, the IRS. $12 million.
Actual retail price?
$40 million.
Guess who's
you
the winner?
Win.
Tyler!
No, Tyler!
Congratulations, Tyler. You're going to Arnett's Chop Shop.
Boom.
This is awesome. Thank you, guys.
You win!
The excitement is palpable. All right, Tyler, hold on. Go pick your kids up. Chuck out.
Hey, really? $40 million? I didn't come up with the number.
Bat out of hell, too. Back to hell.
What did Tyler do there?
He got $35 million of it.
He said 35.
Tyler's obviously smarter. Mm-hmm. Let's welcome in our final contestant, Janine, as Chuck heads to the isolation chamber. Janine, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Janine, what would you be doing rather than playing this dumb radio game right now? Where should you be?
Working.
What kind of job do you have?
I do analytics.
Ooh, sounds important. All right. So you make some serious bucks, don't you?
I do all right.
I do all right. Like six figures all right?
Yeah.
Don't pry.
Are you spoken for?
Yes.
Oh, all right. I asked E.T. Sorry. Derek wanted me to ask. All right, Janine, your category this time is bread.
Okay.
All right. We'll put 60 seconds on your game clock. Here's your chance to win Chuck's dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
Often the base for sandwiches and other meals, the Urban Dictionary defines this as money, specifically cash carried by a person.
Bread.
Yes. This long, narrow loaf of French bread is unique due to its distinguishable length and...
Baguette.
Yeah, uh-huh. Never-ending breadsticks is a trademark of this U.S.-based restaurant. That's right. This sweet breakfast bread is soaked in beaten eggs and often milk or cream, then pan-fried. Yes, it is. NFL draft. Who was picked higher in this year's draft? Joe Milton or Tyler Davis?
Tyler Davis.
Wrong. Flying animals, yes or no, can a ballooning spider fly?
Yes.
Yes, they can. Time zones, is Boise, Idaho in the mountain or Pacific time zone?
Mountain.
That is correct.
All right, Janine, hold on 1 second. Let's get Chuck back from the isolation chamber. Is he playing video games? What's he, find Miss Pac-Man down the hall? Oh, there he is.
Dig Dug.
Ah, he found Dig Dug. Hubert was unavailable.
He's got all the games.
Good for us. We're running an arcade from 1986 called Tilt. Very good. All right, Chuck, your last contestant you're facing here, that's Janine. Janine does very well. She works in analytics.
Mm-hmm.
She should be working right now, but she stepped away. She has spoken for, asked for DT. Derek was curious. He was very interested in her earning power and just all the full package.
She checked a lot of boxes for him.
Yeah.
Does she understand the catch that DT is? Steven, how does Steven perform?
How could she not? He's working here. All right, Chuck, your category this time around is bread.
All right.
Take a deep breath. Well-oiled machine. All right, let's put 60 seconds on Chuck's game clock. We'll see if he can keep his dinner from Arnett's Chop Shop.
Often the base for sandwiches and other meals, the Urban Dictionary defines this as money, specifically cash carried by a person. Bread? Yes. This long, narrow loaf of French bread is unique due to its distinguishable length and crisp crust.
Baguette?
That's right. Never-ending breadsticks is a trademark of this U.S.-based restaurant chain, specializing in Italian
Olive
cuisine.
Garden.
That's right. This sweet breakfast bread is soaked in beaten eggs and often milk or cream and then pan fried.
That'd be French toast.
It is. The NFL draft, who was picked higher in this year's draft? Joe Milton or Tyler Davis?
Tyler Davis.
That's wrong. Flying animals, yes or no, can a ballooning spider fly?
Yes.
He can.
Time zones, Boise, Idaho. Mountain or Pacific
Mountain.
Time zone? That's correct.
All right, good job, Chuck. Very well done.
Six?
You got six. You got six. That was good.
Did I miss one?
Well, yeah, if you got six, clearly you missed one. Janine got, well, she got six as well.
No, boo!
Score tied. And at the end of regulation, we're going to overtime.
This is not fair.
There are special overtime rules in the playoffs.
Let it be noted that we're going to be really screwed up because the clock is now our enemy, and Chuck's screwing it up because he's not winning. So all these overtime sessions are slowing us down.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Janine, Hubby's going to offer you the same question he'll offer Chuck. Closest wins in Arnett's Chop Shop gift card, Hubby.
All right. At last count, how many Olive Garden locations are there currently in the United States?
Oh. 100.
Okay.
All right, Janine, hold on 1 second. Let's get Chuck back in here from the isolation chamber. Same question will be offered to the king that was offered to Janine. Closest wins the card.
Voting process or something. All right, here we go. You ready for this?
Yeah, sure. I'm ready.
Yes. How many Olive Garden locations are there currently in the United States?
Oh, gosh. 59, how many would it be? 812.
Actual retail price.
921.
You can't win.
Chuck's a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm.
Just
you
barely.
Can't win.
Sorry, Janine.
Congratulations.
You know what? I'll go to Arnett's. You go to Olive Garden.
As if that's some, like, bottomless breadsticks and salad?
No, to bring it back, to kind of motivate you to come back next week.
Janine, thank you. And all our contestants, thank you. And Arnett's, thank you. Fire up the band. I said fire up the band.
We're on break.
Takes a minute sometimes to get them fired up.
I think the soup and salad along with the breadsticks there, too.
Yeah. Oh, it's a 1-2 punch.
Do not sleep on it. It's just, you're being dismissive is all, okay? That chicken parm, boy, you are very bougie. I mean, thanks, Arnett's Chop Shop. No bouginess there. All right, coming up, the Falcons have a barrier to winning that Chuck has never seen an NFL team overcome. So will it happen this time? Find out next.
You can't win!
I went to a shrink to analyze my dreams. She said,
Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. We're on the fan. That's FM. And 93.7. AMing it at 680. And, of course, worldwide on the 680 The Fan mobile app. With you till 6, then you'll get 680 Rewind, giving you the best moments of our broadcasting day. Tomorrow, Braves back at it in L.A. against the Dodgers for the first of three. So the Falcons, according to Charles, have a barrier to winning that he's never seen a team overcome, but can they be the first to do it?
I believe as long as Terry Fontenot is GM, the Falcons aren't going to do the draft. And I mean that in as broad as it sounds. They're just not going to do the draft. And since there are only three ways in the NFL you acquire players, draft, free agency, trades, year after year of having very limited impact from the draft, which the Falcons to this point have had very limited impact from the draft, it means you're not going to be a winning organization. The Falcons aren't a winning organization. First trades, all right? Now, this doesn't happen a whole lot with impact. Not a lot in the league. I'll say the team has done a good job on this front in limited instances. Jonnu for like a six-round pick or whatever. Like, they've done a good job for whatever it is that a typical, you know, NFL trade is. They've done okay. Pro signings, giving them full credit. Whoever the pro scouts, personnel folks are in Flowery Branch, it appears they do a solid, consistent job, and probably even better than that if we understood football more. Here's the draft. I'm not kidding. The Falcons would have far more contribution from their drafted players if they would have sent an intern to the event last Thursday with a Street and Smith and a highlighter. Could have fired every college scout the past 3 years, gone straight down the list from a draft preview magazine. If you would have let Dane Brugler make the selection, the Falcons would have had Penei Sewell, okay? Scary Terry and Coach Arthur made the pick. They decided Kyle Pitts. Now, this is not to cherry-pick mock drafts from 3 years ago and say, look how easy it would have been. That's not, no. This is me saying that the Falcons, honestly, they didn't need the telephone at the desk, you know, in the Falcons helmet where you call in. We're not making calls. I need athlons and a highlighter. Like, I'll play Plants vs. Zombies on my iPad between picks, but if they would have sent someone and gone straight down a draft mag, they would have had more impact the past 3 years. the evaluation of the pro player and trades, those are mixed in one transaction that, like I said, I think reflects this, Matt. Getting a third-round pick from a team that didn't go to the playoffs the year before, from Matt Ryan, wow, what a good job on the trade front. They then spent the pick on D'Angelo Ballone, so they ruined it with the thing that the Falcons just aren't going to do as long as Terry is in charge of that personnel. They're just not going to do the draft, and that means it's going to be a long, long time before they become a consistently winning organization.
Well, and this goes back to the day we talked about it when Terry took over. It's they're a best player available thing, and when you say that, and then you say it doesn't matter about the position – well, this is the potential repercussion. And now it doesn't mean that they picked another position, it would have been right. But we keep using the term luxury item, right? I like Kyle Pitts. I liked him the day they took him. It was a franchise that didn't have a big future at quarterback, even if Matt would have been here for a few years at the end longer than he was. It was a franchise that at that time was even worse talent-wise on the lines of scrimmage. And they took Kyle, which Kyle is a fun player, but he's the ultimate luxury item. I would even back it up. The Drake pick, wide receivers have become more valuable. But it's still a luxury, but okay, I'll get that one. Last year was the one that the Eagles were sitting there looking at the clock when the Falcons were on it, knowing they're going to help us. They're going to take the running back. And again, think the world of Bijan. He's an awesome talent. But when you leave Jalen Carter on the board and a team like the Eagles, who typically builds their lines of scrimmage as their most important thing, you play right into their hands. So here's where we are. You're 4 years into four top 10 picks, and you've taken three luxury items.
I've talked about the weather vane in Flowery Branch as far as direction, and a lot of it is either involving or based around the QB. And I think the Kyle Pitts selection is perfect for that. I promise you, if you could break down the percentage of why the team wrote Kyle Pitts on the card and turned it in that night, part of it was because – well, we've decided Matt Ryan's going to be our quarterback for the next 3 years. So what's the best way to get those 3 years immediately, like the most we can from him? Oh, give him a weapon. That was the entire line of thinking, is make the most of Matt Ryan right now. It has never been about building for the future. It's been stomping out the biggest fire on the roster.
Georgia continues to build for the future. News came in today that the Athletic Board of Georgia has approved a deal to extend Kirby Smart's contract 2 years. And he gets a boost in pay of $1.75 million, giving him an annual salary of $13 million per season. Once again, he's the highest paid coach in college football. What are those negotiations like? I don't feel like that's probably very difficult, right? If you're Kirby and you're his agent, it's like, yeah, we want more. All right. Okay. Like, what's the pushback to we want more? We'd like 2 more years and we'd like more money. All right, let me go run it up the flagpole. They said yes. Just greatest negotiation ever if you're Kirby right now. Josh Brooks also got an extension. He is getting a new deal. He'll get one more year. Now his contract will run through 2030. He'll make an annual salary of $1.2 million. So he gets a $100,000 increase per year, plus bonuses up to $200,000
so Kirby's,
for each year.
Kirby's boss's salary is less than the raise Kirby just got.
Yeah, that's funny how that one works, isn't it? Josh, it's Kirby. I'd like a raise. Let me check. Okay.
They said yes.
All right. Very good. Go back to your day. All right. Coming up, how do the Falcons plan on protecting their enormous investment at quarterback? And when does that process begin? We'll talk about it next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.